Well, good morning. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to A Progressive Life here on WWGH 107.1 here on the dial. And we hope you enjoyed our shows this morning. Scott and I are filling in for Charlie while he's out recuperating. And we had a fun show today. It was preceded by Shecky Green on Scott's show that I laughed all the way to the office listening to it on my radio. He was exceptionally good today. Had a rough weekend, however. I was listening just moments ago about the rising floods and the rising water and the flood stages and everything. And the Cobles had our own flood. yesterday, we had about 3 or 4 inches of water in our basement, which was not much fun. We did turn on a pump to get the water. We don't have a sump pump. We have a portable pump. We don't have a sump pump in our basement. So I took the pump downstairs, or my wife did, and we got it all plugged up and going and pumping the water out of the basement and took care of that. But kind of moist down there even till today. And apparently I looked on my phone, on the weather part of my phone, and it tells me that for the next 10 days, I think 9 out of the 10 days, there's a lightning bolt next to the day, which implies that there will be some thunderstorm activity during all but one day of this coming week. I'm ready to get out and finish. I have a few plants left in my basement that I have been putting out. You know, you're supposed to put them outside so that they get used to being outside, and I've been doing that. I couldn't put them out yesterday because it was raining so much, but I think I've had them out 4 or 5 days, so I'm going to put them out at the next possible chance I get. I'm going to plant them and say to heck with it. I've done a good job because my wife and I have been kind of stuck inside, as you have, I'm sure. Well, we haven't been stuck inside. We've been stuck not getting together with other people, which reminds me, I did have one of my old friends pass away from the coronavirus yesterday. And my heart is sad a little bit about that. Anyway, we will go on doing what we can do and keep on keeping on, as they say. Anyway, we got the basement dried out, somewhat dried out, and I'm ready to put the plants in. And what else? There were some bad things that happened to us over the weekend. I can't remember what, other than the passing of my old friend. We're going to keep on keeping on. Today, I used to watch the show The Newsroom. I think it's called The Newsroom. It was written by Sorkin, who is also the gentleman that wrote West Wing. I loved West Wing. I watched every show, and I've restarted watching it, much to my wife's chagrin. I'm watching it again, and I love his writing, his staccato style of writing, and he's a very liberal writer, gentleman, and I'm pretty liberal myself, so I like his political stance. But one of the shows, it opens, the whole show opens with the news director. He's the head guy on the radio station, television station, and he's at a convention where the panel is discussing things about the United States and what makes the United States so great and stuff like that. And there's a young lady that stands up, a student, a very pretty young student, says, why do you think America is the greatest country on the earth? And he kind of plays it off a little bit, and then they keep pushing him, and he finally says, okay, and he tells them why it is not what they think it is. And so I found where that speech came from. It came from a website called PremierOffshore.com, which talks about things like that, statistics and stuff like that. And it had all the statistics that I remember seeing on the show. So obviously these statistics are not from current times. They probably cover the second part of the Obama administration and maybe the first year or so of the Trump administration. So this is not a political statement I'm making by posting this. I think the best disinfectant to hatred amongst our own population, and also the best disinfectant against not knowing what is real and what is not, especially at this time when supposedly our president has told 18,000 lies in the three and a half years that he's been the president. The best disinfectant to all of that is honesty. And I thought I'd pull up these statistics. What makes America the greatest country in the world? Some of you people are not going to like hearing this. I will guarantee you that. But it's not intended to make you angry. It's intended to open our eyes. It's intended to be honest with each other. Rather than telling each other the lies that we hear on Talking Heads on Sunday, let's be honest with each other. I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, I started deleting friends, and I'm using the term loosely. Let's put it this way. I started deleting acquaintances that I called friends on Facebook, and I did go ahead and just delete some of them because I thought they spread a lot of untruths, and I thought they spread a lot of hate, and I was tired of listening to it. So, but I kept a lot of people on that I absolutely disagree with, because I like the idea of being able to listen to the other side of the story, and I learn things from listening to my friends who disagree with my position. I may not agree with them, but I'm learning stuff from them. But anyway, so I looked this site up because this was the basis of this speech by this imaginary anchorman on TV. First of all, it kind of says you would expect the U.S. to lead the world in quality of life. That's what people that are looking at this with rose-colored glasses on, they assume that we would lead the world in quality of life. Now, I will tell you toward the end of the show what the three things, and now four, if you consider we do lead the world in number of deaths and illnesses with the COVID-19 virus. So that adds a fourth thing that we lead the nation in. But America is only 13th. In quality of life index, and that's published by the Economist Intelligence Unit. Most of these have been vetted by some pretty big time heavy duty organizations, and that one, the Economist one, is a pretty big time organization, and they claim that America is only 13th in our quality of life index. That surveys healthiness, family life, community life, the material well-being of our population, the political stability and security and climate, in climate and geography. Also security in your job and political freedom and gender equality. All these things are part of the matrix that makes up quality of life index. It's generally accepted the standard for measuring the quality of life around the world, and we're only 13th. Now, to be fair, most of these surveys are surveys of the industrialized world, and usually the surveys include anywhere from 180 to 220 countries that are considered the industrialized nations. But we're only 13th in quality of life, that kind of is eye-opening in of itself. Now, I've got lots of others that I'm going to tell you about. There are countries with higher costs of living and higher quality of life. Now, see, cost of living is kind of goes hand in hand with the quality of life. But these countries that are higher than us include Switzerland, Sweden, Italy. Now, I don't know with the quiet. Now, see, none of this was done after the COVID-19. So that may have changed. But prior to COVID-19, these are the countries that had higher quality of life, or at least a few of them. Switzerland, Sweden, Italy, Spain, Singapore. And those are just a few of the 13, or we are 13th, so a few of the 12. Average Americans move, however, they don't move to these countries. They move to countries that have lower costs of living, which kind of indicates what Americans really care about is money. They care about saving money. And, you know, I'm retired, so I understand why. When you're retired, you don't have the big bucks coming in anymore. My wife and I have Social Security, and we did a couple of annuities that'll keep us going. So you do have to be careful about the money. But people from the United States, and there are only about 1.2 million people expatriate every year. And of those people, they tend to go to countries with lower costs of living. So therefore, they don't go for the quality of life. They go for lower cost of living. Some of those countries that we tend to go to as Americans are Panama. I've been to Panama. It's, I would say, not a country I want to go to. Chile. I have not been to Chile. Costa Rica, I've been there. It was okay, except for all the people, guys. When I was there, there were a lot of people running around with AK-47s. Philippines, Thailand, Nicaragua. I was there at the same time I went to Costa Rica, and they also had the same problem with government being a little heavy-handed. And they are all significantly lower than the United States in quality of life. But that's where people go from the United States when they want to get away from it, when they want to expatriate. And they want to do it on a budget. Now, healthcare in the United States leads the world in cost. We have the most expensive healthcare. And that's because we have a free market. They can make it whatever those guys want to make it. Now, my wife and I are on Medicare, and it's a great way to go. We do pay extra and have a supplemental with that, but it's way less than what I used to have to pay when my company that I worked for, and I'm putting this in air quotes, paid for our insurance. They didn't really. But anyway, healthcare in the United States leads the world in cost. And the United States currently ranks 49th in overall. Now, listen to this. We lead the world in the cost of healthcare, but we are 49th in the world in overall life expectancy. So obviously our healthcare isn't that good. According to a study that was published by an academic journal, the journal's called Health Affairs, that 49th in the world, and we're slipping. were slipping throughout the 2000s. So it's not going up. It's going down. We were 49th in the world, so that means we're in the better quarter, but nowhere near the top of the chart there. The prime culprit, they claim, for this problem was our deteriorating healthcare system, ever-rising costs, and growing numbers of uninsured. Now, we tried to get our people insured with Obamacare, or ACA, I think it's called. And for a while, we had a lot more people insured, several 20 or 30 million more people. But one of our parties is deciding they don't like that. So they're making it harder and harder and harder and harder to be able to afford to be covered. And so therefore, we have more and more uninsured individuals. And then the individuals that are uninsured because they can't afford to buy the insurance are getting angry because the cost of insurance is going up, and they're required to pay a penalty for not being part of the Obamacare. And so they get mad, and that makes more of them leave, and a lot of them complain that Obamacare is terrible. Well, it was a lot better before, I'm going to say it, before the Republicans decided to whittle away at it for quite a while. We spend twice as much per capita on health care than other industrialized nations. I have a quote, and I'm trying to see where the quote's from. The observation that Americans are spending relatively more on health care but living relatively shorter, less healthy lives has led some critics to allege that the U.S. health care system is uniquely inefficient. Well, if you look at it that way, it is uniquely inefficient. I do remember talking to several of the gentlemen that I know that sell health, or used to sell health insurance, and they were very upset with Obamacare because they knew darn well it was going to put them out of business. Much like the coal mines knew that green energy was going to put them out of business. And one of the things we have to understand in this life is that as changes come, and they will come, coronavirus is going to make huge changes in the way we live. As changes come, people are going to get hurt. I'm sorry. I've gone through it. I was hurt when we got a new president at a university, and I got fired because I wasn't one of the boys. People get hurt as there is progressive movement forward. But they also get hurt if you go back. But people forget that. Anytime a day moves from day to night, people are getting hurt by problems that progress brings upon us. And progress cannot be avoided. This program is called Progressive Life. And a progressive life is what we are living in. Tomorrow, we are not going back. We are going forward, all right? I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. The most shocking statistic amongst all these healthcare statistics that we're talking about, the most shocking is that the U.S. ranks 139th in infant mortality. 139th. Now, they're all close. All industrialized countries are within a point of each other. But we're 139th. We're not even close to the top. And that is a pretty basic health statistic. Infant mortality, we're 139th. All right. That's extremely high, but there are some states like Mississippi and Alabama, they have 10 deaths per thousand on births. Whereas there are other states like Washington and Massachusetts that have about 5 deaths per thousand. So there, some states are really dragging us down. And I don't mean to criticize those states. Let's face it, those states don't have the capital undermining them, undergirding them, that a state like Massachusetts would have. For that matter, Washington out on the West Coast, they would have. Now, there is also another problem with those statistics, that there is a racial component as well, and that's black women are about 2.5 times more likely to lose their babies. Now, it doesn't get into why that would be, but let's face it, they have probably farther distance to travel to find a hospital. They are living in situations where they're, many of them, where they're on top of each other, maybe don't have the most worthy automobile. And so that, but anyway, it turns out that they are 2.5 times more likely to lose their baby than white women. So there is a component of racism in that. I'm not quite sure. We'd have to do studies on that, and I'm sure they have done that. For many Americans, the number one factor in deciding to put down roots is the quality of education. There are a lot of people that, you know, especially amongst the 1%, they're one of their prime movement motivators is the quality of the education. They have to go to the best of the best schools. My wife and I are wondering if Harvard has kind of let down their standards now, because there are all sorts of people that have Harvard degrees, as I'm watching on television all these talking heads, and many of these talking heads are just downright stupid. Well, at least I think they are. Maybe I'm the one that's downright stupid. My degree is from Valparaiso University. My father did go to Harvard, so I guess I should keep my mouth shut. Anyway, a lot of people, they believe that if they want to have the best possible start in life, they have to go to the best school. And I suppose that helps. With the money spent on education, one might expect the United States to be number one in that. Well, we're not. We are ranked 25th in our quality of education. We spend more on education than the total GDPs of many countries. For example, California exceeds the GDP of 5 of the countries in the world. Their education exceeds the GDP of 5 countries in the world. Kind of sad. But we are only 25th in our quality of education. And of those, by the way, of those 5 countries that California actually exceeds their spending, those 5 countries have better quality of education, or are ranked that way. I believe that one was ranked by the Wall Street Journal. The United States, by the way, is moving up. They are 7th in literacy, 27th in math, and 22nd in science. Now, there has been a movement recently to try to get more and more, and especially female students, to go into math and science. There's been a heavy movement for that. We'll have to watch that 10, 12 years, 15 years down the road. I may not be around to watch, but you can watch that, all right? But right now, we're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, and 22nd in science. That's not great, especially considering the amount of money we spend on our educations. And now we have Betsy DeVos, who wants to make it all private education. Now, that's going to make it a lot better. We're going to have private education, spending more money with less oversight. The United States is 25th among 43 developed countries as far as the best place to be a mother. That's kind of an interesting statistic, and they don't tell me on here how they determine that. So I'm going to leave that with a grain of salt, but that's according to the Save the Children Federation or Foundation, whatever it is. So they're probably pretty honest about that. 25th among 43 developed countries for the best place to be a mother. I really would like to see how they develop that. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, Coble's spouting off all these statistics, and how can we trust all these statistics? All I'm doing is pointing out that we are not number one in most statistics. I mean, if we're that far off, we can't be number one. All right. According to Doing Business Rankings, compiled by the World Bank, America ranks 13th in if you want to start a business. Now, I started a business. It lasted about 5 years. It might have lasted longer if I could have found a loan, but it would have just been more money down the drain, so I'm almost glad we didn't. It always believed that the economic freedom and capitalism meant that the United States would lead the world in small business. But in fact, the United States ranks only fourth in the ease of doing business. And recently, with the big shell out of all the money to help people keep their business going in spite of the COVID, in spite of the virus, we see that the ease of doing business for small businesses, like businesses with 3, 4, 5 people, maybe as high as 10, 15 people, that's not so good. All that money went to the higher end of the quote unquote small businesses. The small businesses that only had 500 people at working at 12 different locations. It was not intended to help the ma-and-pa places out. The ma-and-pa places, you're lucky if you can get anything. And I've been looking into it, and it really is difficult, if not impossible, for a business of 3, 4, 5 people to get any of this loan money. Right now, they're trying, but it's just not happening. By the way, one of the things that I am a big proponent of is freedom of press. Now, where do you suppose we list on freedom of press? Now, I know our current president says they're all fake news unless they're Fox. I happen to be the exact opposite feeling of that. But we only rank 47th in press freedom, and that's according to Reporters Without Borders, which is a pretty respected organization. 47th. That means there are 46 other countries that do a better job of freedom of press. Really, our freedom of press has been turned over to the money types. I remember as a young person, a young writer, a young radio announcer, one of our decisions was made because the person that didn't like what we were saying on our newscast was the owner of the building we worked in. That has been going on a long time. And I truly believe that without freedom of press, at least a fairly strong free press, we will fade into oblivion as far as a respected country goes. It really is the fifth part of our government. We have our legislative, we have our executive, and we have our judicial, but I also believe press is the fourth wing of our government. And it's probably the only one that can't be controlled by any of the other three. Whereas right now, our president seems to be able to control the Senate without even turning around. Our judicial has now been kind of stolen away by appointing judicial people that favor the current president. The only thing really keeping us honest is our press and maybe our Congress to some degree. Let's not include the Senate in that, but the congressional. And even there are people, and I understand it, there are people from the right side that would say our Congress is way far, way too left. So, you know, there's that. But we can pretty much count on certain press outlets to give us the straight scoop. I'm not going to get into running down any different groups. There are different opinions on who's good and who's bad and who lies and who doesn't lie as far as the media goes. I think you will know the way I feel about, like, Fox News. But in news, even if it's just the news that's being reported, I think Fox News does a better job than some people give them credit for. Fox News, not Fox commentary, but the news part of it. Anyway, let's continue on. We're 47th in freedom of press. That's not a good thing, right? America is ranked 10th in economic freedom. Obviously, we have our own, and that's by the Heritage Foundation, which is a very conservative organization, and the Wall Street Journal. They say our economic freedom is only 10th. Starting a business in the USA, we're ranked second out of three countries in North America. That's not in the world. That's in North America. We're second out of the three countries. That includes Canada, Mexico, and the United States, I assume, because that's the North America region. And we're second. We're not first there. The U.S. is only 11th happiest country in the world. Now, that's kind of a vague statistic that they're pulling out, but that's according to Columbia University's Earth Institute. The United States is 11th happiest. I'd like to be first happy, but I tend to be a very happy person, so I'm going to say I'm higher than that. There are 21 countries better than the United States in freedom from corruption, and I am absolutely certain that that has gone through the ceiling in the last 3 years. And that was according to the Heritage Organization again. And we ranked 20. And now this is, both of these statistics were pre-Trump. U.S. is ranked 24th in perceived honesty. I will absolutely guarantee we have dropped on that one. We are ranked 89th in the percentage of children who have been vaccinated for, you know, our standard childhood diseases. 89th, come on now. I know there are a lot of people that think they're putting poison in them, but I've had all those shots, and I'm still hanging in here at 73. By the way, a week from today, I'll be 74. No need to send gifts, unless it's a new Maserati or something like that. Our economy is growing, but we're only growing at a rank of 169th out of 216 countries. So it's not knocking the socks off the world as far as, you know who does that number? CIA World. That's in the CIA World Factbook. we are... Our GDP per capita is only 12th in the world, and we're behind Qatar and Liechtenstein. That's a country a lot of people didn't know existed. Our unemployment rate, now that has dipped, and I'm not even going to go there because we really have no idea what it is right now. They were talking 20-25% unemployed by the end of the summer, I guess. We at the time of this, we were dead last in net trade of goods and services. Our budget deficit rank was also dead last. But we were first in, amount of money spent on, defense. We were number one on incarcerated citizens per capita, and we were number one on adults who believe angels are real. That's kind of stretching things, don't you think? Well, anyway, I really wanted to bring all this stuff up, not to embarrass us, but to make it very clear that we have to be crystal clear with each other. We're not the best in anything. We're not the worst. Well, maybe one of those things we were worst, but most of the time we're somewhere in the upper half. We have a good life. There is no doubt about it. We should relax and care about each other. If we would care about each other, maybe we would get better, rather than getting on Facebook and calling somebody a dirty name or saying that they are un-American because they don't do this or they don't do that, waving flags at people as opposed to with people. That just drives me crazy to see all these crazy people waving the flag like if you're not one of us, you're not allowed to wave the flag. That's nuts. And I believe that we can all find some more common ground, but we have to open our ears. We have to listen to each other. We have to care about each other. The one nice thing about being a minister's kid, I was brought up in a family that cared about everybody. And we cared about you even if we hated your politics. And there were a few that I remember hearing not so good things about in politics. But most people, I won't say all, but most people care about other people if the truth be known. I had a great friend die of the COVID-19 virus yesterday. I hadn't seen her in years and years and years. But it broke my heart to hear that she passed away in such a bad way. We are all affected by things like that. And we have idiots running around angry because some of us want to stay away from other people. It's my choice if I stay away from you. It's my choice if I wear a mask in my house. I'm not, but if I wanted to, it's my choice. Leave me alone. If you have to wear a mask outside because of other people, not because of yourself. So anyway, I think we need to find the common ground that I know we have out there. We need to fight it like we fought, quite frankly, the Germans in World War II. We need to fight the instinct to be nasty and evil to each other. You can do it. I know you can. You may hate my political stance, and that's okay. But I'm a good person, and I know you're a good person. So let's just get together to love each other. And I don't mean that in a Pollyanna way. I mean to care about other people. And I hope you enjoyed the show. This is Glenn Coble. It's a progressive life.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory,
I just think my prayer.